Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
This conclave is probably going to be open to a pope from just about anywhere. It's no longer now the hegemony of Europe.
The rich people in our country have decided that we're going to have gay marriage. And I mean the rich people of both parties.
Your pastor, with all of his failings and shortcomings and his jerky behavior, is a mask of the faithful good shepherd, who is not a jerk.
When he comes in and he takes the strong man's stuff, he doesn't keep it for himself. That's what we were going to be expecting. Well, that's what we would do. If I overcome you, I take what's yours and it's mine. But he gives it away.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It is definitely one of the most exclusive clubs, for lack of a better word, in the world, the College of Cardinals, and they don't often gather. When they do, it is usually for something rather historic, and the gathering at Vatican City that began late last week in earnest, and will get to its business, so to speak, electing the next pontiff on Tuesday, is one of those things. It's a private meeting. It is only for the cardinals as voting members there of the College of Cardinals. They're the electors. And other than that, most of us know nothing of what's going on, what has been going on over the weekend in Vatican City in preparation to elect a new pope. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon. It's the 11th of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Helen Hull Hitchcock, president of the Catholic Women's Organization, Women for Faith and Family, will be joining us here for the first 10 minutes. We'll be talking about the selection of the next pope. A little bit later, we'll get to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, some response to those comments right here on the air. We'll talk about the Hindu pilgrimage to the Ganges River. Pastor Stanis Stanley will join us. He's a pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus is Anointed in the House of the Pharisee, in Luke chapter 7. That's hour two of Issues Etc. You can join us over the next several hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Helen Hull Hitchcock is a regular guest. She's president of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. Helen, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
They've been there in the Vatican, assembled at least, for a couple days now, the College of Cardinals.
Yeah, most of them for most of the week, actually. There are 115 cardinals who are electors, and they're from all over the world. And the last one to arrive got there on Friday, and they couldn't decide a date for the conclave, which is the confidential meeting of just the cardinals who are under 80 and therefore elect the next pope. But it's been several days, and what they've been doing mostly is talking about the issues that confront Christianity today, and also to get to know each other. So they give brief talks, each one of them can, let's say 5 minutes long, on issues. And then they have most of the day is devoted to just getting to know each other and praying together. And that's what they've been doing for almost a week.
What is a cardinal as opposed to other titles held by clergy in the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, a cardinal is, you might say, is the top of the hierarchy under the pope. There is in the Catholic Church, as you know, a hierarchy of clergy, from deacons to priests to monsignors to bishops. Then the next step as an archbishop than a cardinal. A cardinal usually is, we have 11 in the United States, and of course it's a big church, and that's he's not just over the bishops, but he is usually the head of a very large archdiocese. For example, we have a cardinal in New York, and we have one in Los Angeles, and that's kind of what they are. There are some cardinals who are also members of the Vatican group of offices that are responsible for running various sections of the church. For example, the Secretariat of State and the Congregation for Doctrine. They are led by cardinals generally.
Now, this meeting that is held, do the College of Cardinals meet for any other purpose than to elect a new pontiff, either upon the death of the previous one,
well,
or as in this case?
Not just the cardinals, but the bishops and archbishops may be called for a synod, and this is something that was established after the Second Vatican Council as a way for the bishops of the world to get together and to study particular issues that confront the church. They gathered, the bishops of the world gathered last fall for a synod on the new evangelization, recognizing the erosion of Christianity and the dominance of secularism in the world. And this, by this new evangelization, this is the year of faith that Pope Benedict called for last at the same time. So we're in the middle of the year of faith that the Pope, who just resigned, established, and the point of that is to explore ways that we can evangelize the world, the non-Christian world, as well as some of us who are Christians who are no longer practicing our faith very well.
Is the Pope necessarily chosen from among this body of cardinals?
Well, it has been for years. It isn't technically, it isn't necessary. It could be that they could select someone who's an archbishop or somebody. It used to be. The last time I think that there was a person who was not a bishop who was elected was in the 16th century when Gregory the, whichever, there are a lot of Gregories, but it hasn't been for centuries, anyone except a bishop and or a cardinal.
Ordinarily, as has been pointed out many, many times, what they're doing or what they will be doing, beginning to do on Tuesday, that is begin to cast ballots for the next pope, is done after the death of the previous pontiff. Does it really make any difference that Benedict XVI is still alive, although now has gone into some seclusion?
That has been a conundrum, and that has been something that we've been thinking about ever since he made this sudden announcement that took everyone by totally surprise. In one sense, I think it's an act of humility on his part that he realizes that he's physically weak and is no longer able to run the church the way that, you know, the governing of the church that needs to be done. Now, just before he resigned, though, last in December, January, he released the third volume of a magnificent work on called Jesus of Nazareth in three volumes, and the last volume appeared just a month or two before he announced his resignation. And so his ability to be a scholar and a teacher, and a father, it was not a problem. The problem is his physical decline has been very, very severe in the last few months.
Now, his predecessor, John Paul II, actually appointed most of the College of Cardinals, didn't he?
Actually, now the majority of cardinals have been appointed by Benedict XVI.
Okay. What, does that mean anything?
Probably not very much. One of the things that's interesting about the 115 cardinals who are going to elect the new pope, that there's so many, there's so much wider spectrum in the world. Like there are 11 cardinals from Africa, 10 from Asia. There are still 60 from Europe and 28 from Italy, which is by far the dominant. But there are 19 in Latin America, 11 in the United States alone. 39 of those cardinal electors are members of the Curia, or that is the official offices in the Vatican. Another thing that's interesting is, and why people in the world are interested in this election of the Pope, is that the Catholic Church is the largest and oldest church that, and in many people's minds represents Christianity to the non-Christian world. And the other thing is that the Vatican itself has a geopolitical importance. It actually is a city-state, and it has diplomatic relations, ambassadors from 178 countries. So this actually makes this more important than it is just for Catholics, for example.
With only about a minute before we take our first break here, Helen, a lot of talk has been floating around that it will be a non-European this time. No one can obviously tell, but what would that mean with about a minute? What are your thoughts there?
I don't know, and I don't know what the cardinals are thinking about that. I suspect that most of the candidates from outside Europe would be, well, it would certainly be a surprise, and it would be something that we would have to figure out how it works, and so would he if he were elected, because most of the cardinals who are outside Europe and who are not, have not had great experience with the operation, the actual governance of the church, so that makes it somewhat less likely than it might be otherwise.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is our guest. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with her, talk about the selection of the next pope. How does the selection actually occur? We'll get an answer to that on the other side of the break.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. Very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, March the 11th. We're talking about the selection of the next pope. The actual voting begins, it is reported, tomorrow in Vatican City. Helen Hull Hitchcock is our guest. Helen, we talked earlier about the speculation of going outside of Europe for the selection of the next pope. What about the chances in your mind of selecting the next pontiff that would represent a radically different theological direction on the issue of the contentious issues that kind of nibble around the edge, the role of women in the church, the social moral issues? Should anyone expect a radically different direction?
Actually, I don't think so. For one thing, some of the teachings of the church, the doctrine, the core doctrine, as you know, can't be changed. That's one of the things, even though we've had bad popes in years past, not thankfully in the last couple of centuries, but in, as you know, there were some really bad ones, but they did not change the doctrine. They didn't damage the doctrine of the faith. They damaged a lot of other stuff, as you know, to the extent that any church is human, it's fallible. But Catholics believe that God protects the church and the core doctrine. So as far as, you know, eradicating core teachings of the faith, that couldn't happen.
How does the actual election occur? Does anyone know?
You can actually find out on the Vatican website how it occurs. In fact, they even have they even published on the web the missal that they're going to be using for the Mass tomorrow that will be held before the conclave begins. So you can actually look at it and follow it along, and they're televising it. But as far as the conclave is concerned, that is entirely secret, and anybody who's not a cardinal elector is not there, and they're locked out. The doors are officially locked, and what happens inside the conclave is when it's actively voting for the pope, is that the cardinal electors are each given ballots, special formal kind of ballots, and they also swear before God and on the Bible. They take an oath of fidelity to the Holy Spirit's will for them as nearly as they can tell, and that also there's an oath of confidentiality that they do not reveal anything that goes on within the conclave. But they're mostly prayerful. It's silent from what all the cardinals who have actually been to a conclave have said, that it's silent and they pray. And then they take the votes, and the votes, there's a special ceremony, and they, as they cast the vote, they also make an oath that this is, as best as they know, this is God's will that they're voting for. And so then the votes are counted, and if there's no, if there are no majority, it takes two-thirds of the voting cardinals. So that would be 77 votes for whoever becomes the pope. And if they don't have that, then they do another vote. And then they burn the ballots. Now, this is funny, isn't it? Because the pope initiated a Twitter account last December, but we're not going to be hearing the results from Twitter. We're going to look at the smokestack outside that they've set up with special chemicals and if the vote does not determine that a pope has been elected, then the smoke will be black. If a pope has been elected, the smoke will be white, and the bells at St. Peter's will ring. So that's that sounds pretty primitive, but in one sense, it also seems more prayerful. And it's a long-standing tradition, of course, but they're not trying to rush things in there. They're not trying to hurry up and figure it out as fast as possible. It's not anything like one of our political elections.
Well, speaking of time, at least at the broader timetable, of course, Holy Week approaches. And I guess I, from the outside looking in, I would think it's almost unthinkable for the Roman Catholic Church to enter upon Holy Week, especially Vatican City's celebration of those days, without a pontiff in place. Does it pretty much have to happen before Holy Week?
Very likely will. There have been only a couple of times in the last 100 years that the conclave has taken more than 3 or 4 days. So this time it's a little bit more iffy because there was no, like the last time it only took 24 hours when Cardinal Ratzinger was elected and became Benedict the 16th. But that's partly because of the long years that Pope John Paul was ailing, and he relied very, very heavily on Cardinal Ratzinger, who was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith from 1981 until the Pope died in 2005. So therefore, he, you know, Cardinal Ratzinger seemed, I think, to most people to be the logical way of continuing Pope John Paul's doctrinal orthodoxy and his outreach to the world through the church.
Is the announcement made immediately after the indication of an election of who this would be?
Almost immediately. As soon as a positive vote is taken and someone is elected, that is announced. Now, there was a slight change in the rules made by John Paul II that will certainly be in effect at this council, at this conclave, and that is that there is a brief period when the Pope, after he's elected, will have a brief period of prayer before this announcement is made, you know, like maybe 10 minutes or something like that. So it'll be a few minutes before the new Pope appears on the balcony. But I think one of the things to stress about this is how prayerful this is. They start, as you know, tomorrow morning they will start with a Mass, and then they will have a formal procession into the Sistine Chapel following this, and the cardinals will be singing the Litany of the Saints, and that prayer has had great importance in the celebrations in the Latin liturgy in that it invokes the saints of the West and the East, and it also includes Abraham and Isaac and Elijah, which is an interesting addition to it, the patriarchs of the Old Testament.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is president of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. You'll find a link to Women for Faith and Family under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Helen, thank you very much.
Glad to be with you.